Hello, my name is Pastor Nick Nicolai. I am the interim pastor at Congregational Presbyterian Church in Lewiston, Idaho. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for the congregation and for those interested in learning more about the congregation and our Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, meet our staff and congregation, and join us in our journey of faith. Our mission is to know Christ, to become like Christ, to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. The gospel for this morning from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. It'll be on the screen and on page 816 in the Bibles. And for those of you online, if you have a scripture, Matthew, New Testament, Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times?" "No, not seven times," Jesus replied, "but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owed, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants just as I had mercy on you?' And the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." This is the gospel of the Lord. So when you walked in this morning, or if you joined us then online and wanted to worship with us, and then you visually saw, you thought, "Wow, Pastor Steve Wilbraham looks terrible." Well, I'm not Pastor Steve Wilbraham, but I'm Pastor Nick Nicolai, interim pastor. Good, thank you. Good news, bad news. Good news, Pastor Steve Wilbrahamson is doing well. He's fine. They are transitioning to Texas. Bad news is, I always look like this. Well, three comments before the message. So when pastors say that, you go, yeah, three comments. Three comments. First is a thank you. Thank you to this congregation, Congregational Presbyterian Church. How lovely for Pastor Steve Wilbraham, public ministry through this congregation, and for this church, all those years of service, and not only here, but all of those congregations and places and peoples where he has touched their lives throughout the journey where God has set him. So keep him and wife Lori and Ryan and Chris and Kyle and their families in your prayers as they begin to write this new chapter in their lives together. And know that they keep you in prayer, so you keep them in prayer. And thank you for all the clergy and all the staff who have served this federated church, Congregational Presbyterian Church, and before that, with our roots here in the valley, in these two congregations now together. Thank you. Second, full communion partners. I'm a Lutheran clergy person. The United Church of Christ and the Presbyterian Church USA and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America are full communion partners. We have been since 1997. Which means full communion is when two denominations develop a relationship based on common confession of the Christian faith, and we mutually recognize baptism and sharing the Lord's Supper. Does not mean two congregations have merged. You know that, you're federated in reaching agreements, and we also respect differences. So we can worship together, we can exchange clergy together, we share evangelism, a love for the gospel, witness and service and outreach. We acknowledge that we have differences, but there is nothing church dividing. How lovely is that? Congregational Presbyterian Federated, now a Lutheran pastor as interim. So, executive presbyter at the Presbytery of the Inland Northwest, Pastor Cheryl Kinderpyle, contacted me, asked if I'd be available and be open to the possibility of serving as interim. I said yes, and then I met with the big three, Tom Bobel, Kate Nolan, and Joe Hewlett. We had conversation, and here we are. Third, interim pastor. Interim. Latin, interim. It means between. Intervening between what was and what will be. Pastor, Latin, passare. It means to shepherd. to walk with, to tend, to care. In terram passare. Here's the kicker. All clergy are interim clergy, because we serve between the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we await his coming a second time. We are in the interim time together. So thank you, Full Communion Partners, interim. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, as loving parents embrace their children in their arms, so you hold us fast. Thank you. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior and the Spirit. His peace be with you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. So, welcome. Welcome to all of you gathered in person. Welcome to those of you online who are with us in worship. And welcome to those who will worship with us online at a different time. Welcome. Just a few weeks ago, the ending of August, the beginning of a new fall term for Lewis Clark State College, Lewiston High School, middle school, elementary schools, and other schools. The following is based on the book First Day Jitters, by Julie Dannenberg. Sarah, time to get out of bed, said Mr. Hartwell. You don't want to miss the first day at your new school, do you? I'm not going, Sarah said. She pulled the covers over her head. Of course you're going, honey, said Mr. Hartwell as he walked over to the window and opened the shades and let in the morning sun. I don't want to go and start all again. I don't think I'll like my new school. How can you not like your new school? You've never been there before. You liked your old school. You'll like this school. Besides, think of all the new friends you will meet, said Mr. Hartwell. And what will everyone think if you aren't there? We told everyone you would be coming. Sarah turned toward the wall, pulled up the covers, and moaned. Mr. Hartwell said, Sarah Jane Hartwell, you get up, you get ready. I'll see you downstairs in 5 minutes for breakfast. Sarah tumbled out of bed, stumbled into the bathroom, fumbled into her clothes, shuffled into the kitchen. She said, my head hurts. Mr. Hartwell and Sarah got into the car and drove to the new school. She stared out the window, didn't say a word. When they arrived, Sarah said in a weak voice, I don't feel very good. Mr. Hartwell said, Sarah Jane Hartwell, once you get started, you'll love your new school. Oh, look, there's your principal, Mrs. Burton. Sarah slumped down,
low in the seat.
"Oh, Sarah," Mrs. Burton gushed, peeking into the car. "It is so good to see you. Come on in. I'll show you where to go." Mrs. Burton led Sarah into the building and down the busy hallways. "Don't worry, Sarah. Everyone is nervous on the first day." When they got to the classroom, most of the children were already in their seats. The class looked up at Mrs. Burton. She cleared her throat and said, "Class, class, attention, please," said Mrs. Burton. When the class was quiet, Mrs. Burton walked Sarah to the front of the room and said, "Class, I would like you to meet Sarah Jane Hartwell, your new teacher." Here's a poem by Julie Cadwallader Staub entitled "Joy." Who could need more proof than honey? How the bees with such skill and purpose enter flower after flower, sing their way home to create and cap the new honey just to get through the flowerless winter. And how the bear with intention and cunning raids the hive, shovels pawful after pawful into his happy mouth, bats away indignant bees, stumbles off in a stupor of satiation and stickiness. And how we humans can't resist its viscosity, its taste of clover and wind, its metaphorical power. Don't we yearn for a land of milk and honey? Don't we call our loved ones honey? All because bees just do over and over again what they were made to do. Oh, who could need more proof than honey to know that our world was meant to be and was meant to be sweet? Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Master, how many times do I forgive a sister or brother who has hurt me? Once? Or say as much as 7? "Jesus," you replied, "you think 7 is a lot? Hardly. Try 70 times 7. What if 70 times 7 isn't the number of sins you need to forgive? What if instead it's the number of tries that it will take for you to be able to forgive a sin? Forgiveness isn't simple as just saying, 'Well, I forgive you.' It's hard. It's difficult. It takes practice. It needs to become a way of living together. Like the king in the story, sometimes we'll try to forgive, but then we keep that offense in the back of our head just in case we need to bring it up again. The story illustrates the consequences of failure when we fail to let go. So we keep practicing, even though we know that God forgives entirely. The number 7 in the scriptures was understood to be fullness, completeness, wholeness. 7 combines 3, which suggests divinity, and 4, recalling the 4 corners of the earth. 7. Holy, 4 corners, complete. Ah, Jesus in the story expands the fullness of grace to be unlimited. And this morning we will pray the Lord's Prayer using the words debtors. A prayer that uses the petition, forgive us our debts. Forgive us as we forgive. That's just the way we Christians live. We're human together. And God's mercy forever. How many times should I forgive? Resentment, you know. It seeps back in to the boat like water, and we need to keep bailing out. Regret, it lingers in the background. We need to keep feeding us grace. And when we hurt, we naturally want to strike back and blame, projecting our hurt and our pain on them, but it really only increases it for us. Author Annie Lamott, she's a writer, a novelist, she writes, "Not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die." Love, continual, renewable, restorative. It doesn't just sit there like a rock. If you love someone, it flows like a river. That's how we live. Every breath, every heartbeat, God is forgiving you. The verse in Matthew, just before the text I read, the verse right before this text is, Jesus says, "For where 2 or 3 of you are gathered in my name, I am with you." God is here. With you. God is love. Where there is love, there is God. Loving neighbor, loving God are one. Every encounter, however brief, is a holy encounter. Every word, whether just a greeting, is a holy greeting. God declares to you, "Your sins are forgiven." Peace. Peace. And how we humans can't resist its vacacity, its taste of clover and wind, its metaphorical power, don't we yearn for a land of milk and honey? Don't we call our loved ones honey? All because bees just do over and over again what they were meant to do. Oh, who could need more proof than honey to know what our world was meant to be and was meant to be sweet? Let's take a moment of silence to reflect, and then I'll offer a prayer. Our loving God, you are rich in mercy, and your love flows like a river. And you loved us even when we were broken or stubborn or lost or dead. You make us alive as community. Thank you. By grace we have been saved, renewed, strengthened. And so may we live, you present with us in our hearts and through our lives. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. May his peace be with you always.